Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're joined by Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Bozeman. He discusses the benefits farmers can see in reconciliation, the Make America Healthy Again Commission report, and ag labor. But first, here's this week's headlines. The Department of Homeland Security says immigration raids will continue on farms. DHS Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin said there will be no safe spaces for industries who harbor violent criminals or purposely try to undermine ICE's efforts. This decision appears to be a reversal from last week. According to the New York Times, ICE earlier told regional staff to pause all worksite enforcement investigations involving agriculture. In the Oval Office earlier this month, President Trump said farmers and the hospitality industry shouldn't lose long-term workers that had been working without incident. Farm organizations and food industry leaders want the Make America Healthy Again Commission to consider their input as food and agriculture policy is developed. Over 250 groups wrote a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, and EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, urging the administration for an opportunity to provide input after they say the most recent report lacked transparency and an opportunity for public engagement. The groups say the commission's last report contained errors that created doubts about the safety of the country's food supply. The report criticized the amount of ultra-processed foods, added sugars, food dyes, and additives in Americans' diets. It also cited studies linking exposure to glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, with adverse health outcomes. The Senate Finance Committee released its tax and Medicaid provisions for the GOP budget reconciliation bill this week, including an extension of expiring 2017 tax cuts. The package would keep the Section 199A deduction for pass-through business income at 20% and make it permanent. It would also set the estate tax exemption at $15 million, or $30 million for a couple, and index the limit to inflation. The Finance Committee's provisions also include an extension of the 45Z Clean Fuels Production Tax Credit through 2031. Republicans in the House and Senate are closely aligned on the Farm Bill provisions in their version of the Budget Reconciliation Bill. The House bill adds $60 billion in spending to farm programs, while the Senate version adds $67 billion. Senator John Bozeman serves as chair of the Senate Ag Committee. We asked him where farmers can see the biggest benefits in reconciliation.
As we've gone through the country, the thing that I hear the most from our producers is that they need a better safety net. They need more risk management tools in the sense that with these low commodity prices, very high input cost, it's very, very difficult. They need a hedge. And so we worked hard to help really across the board as far as row crop, dairy, sugar producers, all of these various entities, livestock, the specialty crops, honeybees, you name it, trying to give them a better safety net, which again, I think is the most important thing that we can do for our farm community right now. The feedback that we've gotten has been very, very good. Most of this stuff was in our, what we proposed last year. We worked very closely with G.T. Thompson, who does an excellent job in the House. He's outstanding to try and go ahead and as we had this vehicle going through to get some of the farm bill out of the way, we'd like to get these things done and then come back later in the year and actually pass the rest of the farm bill.
The text finds savings for those farm programs by cutting the cost of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Congress hasn't taken money from food assistance before. Should producers be concerned about the impact this could have on passing future farm bills?
No, and we're not taking money from food assistance in the sense what we're doing is we're looking at the error rate. Right now there's about $100 billion over 10 years that is just due to overpayments. So we're saying let's recoup those dollars and get them, in a better place. And so that's really what we're doing. So it allows the states to become more efficient.
Republicans still seem to be divided on some issues, including the impact on rural hospitals of the bill. How confident are you that it can be passed by the July 4th goal that leadership has?
I think we'll get it done. Right now, there's still a lot of negotiation going on. People are concerned, rightfully so, in the sense of making sure that we do the very best for our rural hospitals, which are so important. There's so many headwinds right now in rural America with the farm economy, loss of population, things like that. Certainly, we don't want to do anything that would make it such that it's that much more difficult.
And as you've mentioned, there's some very important farm bill elements included in reconciliation, but I want to gauge your optimism on a complete farm bill still being passed yet this Congress.
Yeah, I'm very much committed to that. I've got a great partner in Amy Klobuchar. Senator Klobuchar does a really good job. She and I have done some difficult things in the past and look forward to working with her in the future. We need to pass a complete farm bill. We're able to do some of the big things in reconciliation, the risk management tools. Those are the cost drivers. Those are the things that cost so much money. If we can get those out of the way, we're also doing things with research and trade, which are so, so very important for our farmers. But if we can get some of those things out of the way, then we can come back and finish up. And there's so many policy areas that again, we'll be working together to straighten out that will make life easier for our farmers and the farm communities that we're anxious to serve.
We'll be back with more from Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman right after this.
These are the farmers and ranchers who help build the America we depend on, and Farm Credit is here for them, supporting rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. In good times and bad, we provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. We help agricultural producers feed the world. Learn more today.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you
yes.
asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. The Department of Homeland Security recently said they would pause raids on farms, hotels, and restaurants, but quickly reversed that decision. We asked Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Bozeman about his message to President Trump when it comes to shaping immigration policy that could affect the nation's food supply.
Well, I think the biggest problem that we've got now is uncertainty. One minute it's one way and the next minute it's another way. Who can plan? It really makes it very, very difficult. And so I think that there's all kinds of people that we can be going after, initially that are here illegally, that have committed crimes, things like that. That I think that's where we really need to concentrate. Certainly those that are here illegally, the president campaigned on sending back. And so we're going to have to deal with that. Now that we've secured the border, and the president's done a tremendous job in that, nobody said he could, but already in the first few months of his presidency, we're having record low border movements, which is great. We can celebrate that. That was the first step towards, at some point, getting together a visa program so that we can get the workers that we need and do things in an orderly process. That's really what things should be all about. So I'd like to see us expand that, again, making sure people are here illegally, making sure people are here legally versus being here illegally, and continue to secure the border.
The Make America Healthy Again Commission report is continuing to raise concerns with farm groups who had limited input in how it was developed. What are your thoughts on the report, and are you concerned about the claims it makes about pesticides?
Well, I'm very concerned about the report in general, and not only the report, but some of the statements that have been made just off the cuff. And so, this is really important stuff, and we need to use common sense, but we also need to use science. And right now, the report was not based on science. It was very sloppily done. There was no transparency at all as to how it was done, who was doing it. So we had a really good meeting with several members, and RFK Jr. and his the people that work with him. Lee Zeldin was there, who's doing a tremendous job at EPA, but really expressed in a very frank way that we were concerned about this. We felt like a lot of the things that were in it were not accurate, that were contrary to what, the studies were showing. And so the good news is I think they listened, and hopefully we'll be more responsible as we go forward in the future. One of the most important things we need to do is get some farmers involved so that they can explain exactly what they're doing. Nobody does a better job at working hard to protect the soil, protect our health. And so many of the things that we're concerned about from a climate standpoint depend on using safe herbicides and pesticides so you don't have to disturb the soil. So we can do that. And maybe we can do it more efficiently.
Your committee is continuing to move forward on nominees to support Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins and President Donald Trump's agenda. Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden was recently confirmed. I'm wondering what's next on your timeline for nominees coming up?
Well, we're trying to get them done as quickly as we can. And so they have to get their paperwork filled out. They have to have an FBI background check. We've got several that are, that we're going to vote out of committee in the near future. And then after that, after we get them out of committee, and the secretary desperately needs help. It seems like this administration has been in power for a long time, but it's only been a few months. But right now, it's basically the secretary and a few others that are at the top trying to set new policies that we desperately need. So then we have to rely on really the White House decides, because it's not only agriculture that's in that situation, it's all of the agencies. So we have to rely on the White House to direct who they feel like is most important to get done. But we'll be pushing really hard, encouraging the White House to select us to get some votes on the floor for these nominees so that we can fill out Secretary Rollins' cabinet.
Wonderful. Well, Senator Bozeman, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back with more of our panel discussion. But first, Allie Herring looks at public perception of the Make America Healthy Again movement in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Most Americans view the Make America Healthy Again movement positively, but their level of support depends on their party affiliation. The results of the Gardner Food and Agricultural Policy Survey show that MAHA support was strongest from very conservative participants, with 76% of this group holding very or somewhat positive views of the movement. By contrast, only 46% of very liberal survey takers indicated very or somewhat positive views of MAHA. Additionally, only 5% of very conservative participants had very or somewhat negative views of MAHA, versus the 26% of very liberal respondents who fell into this camp. Survey takers on each end of the political spectrum were more likely to be aware of the MAHA movement than their moderate counterparts. For AgriPulse, I'm Allie Herring.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Clean Fuels Alliance America is leading the way toward cleaner air, stronger local economies, and reduced dependence on fossil fuels. The industry uses more than 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every month to produce clean fuels. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel deliver immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in heavy-duty transportation industries. We're growing better, cleaner fuels for today and tomorrow.
Welcome back. Budget reconciliation could bring many benefits to farm country, including a boost to reference prices. We're joined by Mike Strands with the National Farmers Union and Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council on our panel this week. We'll begin with you, Mike. What do you see as the biggest wins included in the budget reconciliation bill for farm country?
One of the biggest things we need to see from reconciliation or a farm bill process in general is to get rid of this uncertainty. For too long, almost 2 years, we've been operating without a five-year farm bill. And by moving that process along over the last couple of months through the reconciliation process, in this case, that helps address that big concern about concerns about what our next farm bill is going to look like. So having some boost to reference prices, including some of the important programs that were part of the 2018 farm bill that helped provide for rural America, is a help. It's a boost. We are concerned, though, about the long-term viability of the Farm Bill Coalition, as this approach that we see through reconciliation of doing some parts of the Farm Bill, but not all of it, breaks apart that long-term coalition. We'd like to see progress, and we're glad to see those increases in reference prices and other boosts, but there's concerns out there.
There's numerous beneficial tax provisions included in the bill as well that will benefit rural America, including an extension of the 45Z tax credit for biofuels. What's the importance of having that for farm country?
Absolutely. Yeah. Glad to have those tax provisions in there that can help rural America and farmers in particular. With the 45Z clean fuels production tax credit, there's more opportunities to make sure that we're unlocking the potential of clean energy production. We've seen this over the last few years when this was part of the Inflation Reduction Act, but by making sure that the 45Z rule and the tax provisions work the way that they ought to, we can help make sure that farmers have greater flexibility and ease when they're making investments and tailoring strategies towards their operations.
Taz, bringing in the discussion here, what are you watching in regards to how cotton growers could benefit from the reconciliation package?
We're excited about a lot of the provisions in there, particularly for growers. Our reference prices have needed to be increased. Our cotton cost of production has gone up 20-25% over the last 3 years. We need to get to the reference prices. It's been outdated and needed to be. Does that in here gets that reference price for seed cotton more in line with cost of production? It also makes some critical crop insurance changes. We have an area-wide cotton insurance product called Stacked Income Protection Plan that growers have not been able to use the PLC provision, the price loss coverage provision, and ARC provisions on that. So this will allow growers to, it makes the SCO, supplemental coverage option, more like Stacks, and allows growers to be able to do PLC, price loss coverage, on their seed cotton-based acres. It also makes some critical changes to the marketing lawn, gets the loan rate. It makes an increase in the cotton loan rate, but also makes some provisions that with adjustable price calculations, they get that more in line to make some critical changes on that front as well. That's going to be really good for growers.
We'll be back with more of our panel discussion right after this.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you
Yes.
asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. The National Farmers Union and other producer groups have spoken up about the Make America Healthy Again Commission report after there was little industry input in the development process. We asked Mike Strands about the group's message to HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about the report.
Well, whenever there's new policy approaches or kind of a statement of purpose and principle, I guess, for a big effort like what came through in the MAHA report, we got to make sure that anytime we're trying to address the chronic disease issues, nutrition, environmental exposure concerns, all this needs to be grounded in sound science. It's got to reflect the science. We need to have a transparent process in how this is built, and overall a commitment to public health. And while that fell short through this MAHA report process, we hope that future efforts can reflect the broad perspectives and important perspectives within agriculture to make sure that these sorts of projects work for farmers. One thing that I do want to hold up, though, that the report rightly highlights and raises to the forefront is the threat of corporate consolidation on our food and agriculture system. So we've got to make sure that that continues to be part of the discussion in the MAHA report and just the overall effort. And we're glad to see the administration include that as one of the big concerns. We can help the overall health of our American population by making sure family farmers aren't being pushed out and that we continue to have diversity in farming and local food systems and rural economies.
Taz, I want to get your perspective as well. Is the cotton industry also concerned about the Make America Healthy Again Commissioner report?
Yeah, there's some things in the report that we are concerned about. I mean, you know, anytime you have a report on health that needs to be grounded in science, we have made tremendous strides in crop with our crop protection products. We have to have that moving forward. Weed control, pest control is a very, very important part of fresh agriculture in cotton, and we need to make sure that those tools remain available for growers in the long term. We do see opportunity though with the MAHA report. One of the provisions that was outlined in the report was the concern about microplastics and the health impacts of microplastics. And we feel like cotton is a natural fiber, natural clothing. We believe that we can do some education with that with the administration about the possible positive impacts of wearing more natural fibers in your clothing to mitigate some of the damaging possible health impacts of microplastics.
As Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith recently introduced the Buy American Cotton Act, so what's the importance of providing those tax credits for American-grown cotton, and do you see that as something that could be rolled into President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill?
Yeah, we're working on that front now. Grateful for the support we have from Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, and we've got great co-sponsors with Senator Bozeman, Senator Britt, Senator Tuberville, Senator Marshall have been great supporters so far. And so we're trying to get that worked in. This bill would basically incentivize the consumption of U.S. cotton. That, a lot of that cotton is grown in the U.S. where it's exported to Asia or to a near shore here in Mexico with some of our free trade agreements we have with that. But we want to get that brought back in because that is U.S. cotton being produced here and brought back into the U.S. and incentivize the importers and the retailers to source U.S. cotton, and we can trace all that cotton can be traced through the Cotton Trust Protocol and through textile genesis. It's very traceable, so we could utilize that front on that front and get this incentivization going and really enhance demand for growers, enhance demand for U.S. cotton as well.
We'll be back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, Allie Herring looks at U.S. Senate seats up for election in 2026 in this week's Map It Out.
2026 is shaping up to be a Republican-heavy election cycle in the Senate. As you can see here, of the 33 Senate seats up for re-election in 2026, 20 are held by Republicans. Five of these Republican senators currently sit on the Senate Ag Committee. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, Roger Marshall of Kansas, Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, and Joni Ernst of Iowa. Four Senate Ag Democrats are also up for re-election in 2026. Dick Durbin of Illinois, Tina Smith of Minnesota, Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico, and Cory Booker of New Jersey. McConnell, Tuberville, Durbin, and Smith will not be seeking re-election. All are retiring except Tuberville, who is running for Alabama governor. Republicans currently hold a 53-47 majority in the Senate. When the 20 Republican-held seats were last up for re-election in 2020, four were decided by a margin of less than 10 percentage points: Iowa, Maine, North Carolina, and Texas. For AgriPulse, I'm Allie Herring.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Clean Fuels Alliance America is leading the way toward cleaner air, stronger local economies, and reduced dependence on fossil fuels. The industry uses more than 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every month to produce clean fuels. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel deliver immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in heavy-duty transportation industries. We're growing better, cleaner fuels for today and tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Next week in Washington, both the House and Senate will be in session. Senate Majority Leader John Thune still has his eyes set on passing the Senate version of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act by the 4th of July. Tune in next week and check our website anytime for the latest developments. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.